guys. Welcome back. Welcome in. Thanks for joining us one more time. Thanks for hitting the download button. And thanks for telling a friend. If you haven't yet, catch us on Facebook, facebook.com/theythatbelieve. Give us a like and give us a share. We need some new likes over there. We are missing one today, although I'm not by myself, but Randall the armor bearer, I guess for the first time. Well, yeah, because he and I started doing this together, so he's not missed one, but he's out today. He's on the DL. He's sick. He's feeling sickly. Sick of the palsy, I guess. We will meet, but we will miss him. There will be one empty chair. Okay. But I'm not alone. I've got Gretchen is here with us.
Hello.
To help fill out the roster a little bit. And Big Nathan, Nate the Great. We're gonna carry over the title of Nate the Great to you. You get that one now. The previous Nate the Great been unable to fulfill his duties, so in true pageant fashion, you get
the runner up.
You can be Nate the Great now. And we're a wee bit behind compared to what we normally try. We normally try to get in one every 2 weeks, and usually have one up by the middle or end of that week. Today we waited a little bit because we are fresh out of an event. We all attended the I never get it right, Southern Fried Pop Culture Comic-Con event. I think that's the right sequence.
Something it's like that.
Basically a local con that we have in Jackson, Tennessee, which in here in West Tennessee where we are. And Randall was supposed to go with us today, and then he messaged me this morning and he said he was feeling sickly, got the bug, and God bless him, he didn't want to give it to any of us. And I thank him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Surprise.
I was like, oh man, I'm really disappointed, but stay home. So yeah, he just wasn't up for it today. But it was my doing, putting off trying to record. I wanted to wait until we got back from that to see what interesting sights and activities and sounds and smells we might have encountered.
Oh yes.
So we literally just got home. Actually, I was gonna compliment them and congratulate them on having another stellar event this year, but I guess even as we're talking, it's still going on. We pretty much got there when they opened today. So my report would be pretty brief, as I'm prone to do. I bought a handful of books, a little more than usual, but I had some good finds. Nothing I would count among your special rarities or anything especially valuable, but stuff that I like. Some in an Avengers run through the 160, 180 run that I've been kind of spot collecting in that series, and from 1976. Yeah, I was right. And I guess that's it. Well, no, we bought some signs with some Bible verses on them from the Costumers for Christ. I'll let Gretchen talk about them in a minute. She really was impressed with those folks. A lot of fun, class act. So let me start with, I guess, Nathan. This was is this your first event of this kind? Have you been to others? I know you haven't with us, but
no, this is it. This was
the first one.
This was the first
and of
actual
course,
con.
Yeah, it is a local. I've never
been to.
It is a local show. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's not San Diego for sure.
No.
It's not.
No.
But for a local show, I enjoy it. Mm-hmm. I commented on this before. We went to one in Nashville, WizardCon in Nashville, and then shortly after that came back home and went to the one in Jackson, and I've commented that I enjoyed that almost as much, if not more. I think WizardCon is still struggling. I don't know if they're still putting on events. They may have, I hate to say it, they may have closed up shop. I don't know. Well, anyway, you know, that taken into account, but you weren't disappointed, I mean, in any event.
Tell us what to expect.
Tell us as a first-timer walking in the door, maybe what you expected and what you experienced and how the two compared.
It was pretty much what I expected. I was looking through their Facebook page and all the pictures, and you know, I work with some pretty hardcore Comic-Conners, I guess. They've been to the one in San Diego.
Really?
They go to the one, oh yeah.
Okay.
They've been to the one in Atlanta, I think it is, and maybe Dallas.
Okay.
They've been to a few major ones.
Yeah, they're taking weekends off.
Yeah.
And going to the big ones.
Yeah, they're into it. And they dress up. They do the full makeup and wigs.
Really?
And make their own costumes. Yeah.
Well, are they too highfalutin or too good to go to the local shows like this?
Well, that's what I figured. You know, after they'd done all those, that this just wouldn't have the same effect. Okay.
They're breathing, breathing rarefied air, huh?
Okay. I guess.
Well, see, I thought you were doing well to go with us. I didn't know you was around a bunch of snobs anyway. Well, that's okay. Well, that's cool. I don't think I saw you come out with anything. You didn't spend any money today, did you?
No.
Not really.
I saw a couple things, but we were talking about that gremlin. I saw that full scale
right.
gremlin
from the movie Gremlins, and he has a name, I'm sure, but I couldn't recall it.
I think only Spike is
there. You
named.
Go. That's it. Okay.
Yeah. What's that, Spike?
It's the.
I think that's the lead right. one think, was named Spike. There
it was
actually
Mowgli.
With
Mowgli was the
Mogwai.
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 No, they
yeah.
were Mogwai all. They were the, all Mogwai, weren't
yeah,
they?
Yes.
Well. Gizmo was a Mogwai.
Gizmo, that's
and then
who
they turned into gremlins once who, you get the...
That's who I was trying to think of.
Okay, once you feed them after right. midnight.
But I think you're yeah. right. I think that dude was Spike. Everybody should know the big evil-looking one that looks like
yeah,
Miles
the
Davis.
Looking
yeah,
one. So I asked the dude how much it was, and he said it was $300.
Mm. I said, no. Was it 300? I thought you said $399 or something, or was it $300?
It was 310, and then the young guy told me that he could go down to 290, and then I guess the older guy that was running the booth was like, no, there's no way I'm going down to 290, and I was thinking to myself, oh, I thought it was going to be like $40 or $50. It's
right.
like something you get from Spencer's.
You never know. I mean,
it was from the movie,
thing.
Though.
Yeah.
That's what it was. He said, no, this was actually from the movie. I've got the box. And,
oh, wow.
It was
and
used?
All it was used in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
Mm-hmm. He said it was in one of the shots, and he told me which one. I couldn't remember, but so, I don't know. And
it sounds
I
like the type of thing you might should be a little skeptical of.
Yeah.
I don't
mm-hmm. It was pretty hokey looking for... Even for that time and that
no,
that kind of a movie, I mean it.
How close did you get? Did it have any kind of certificate of authenticity or anything like that? Probably did. I don't know.
I probably didn't.
They're not offering me something like that.
No, and they wouldn't let you get very close to it. So that was part of
it was in the back of the booth.
Red flag. It's like, no, you can't see it close up until you buy it.
Seen enough of that one.
Okay.
Move on. Don't touch it. Don't even look. Stop looking. You've seen enough.
No, I saw that, and then I was disappointed in the t-shirt selection. That's what I really wanted. I wanted a good t-shirt. I don't know, maybe like a just like a Captain America or something, but not just the run of the mill that you get at Walmart. I wanted something special that
right,
you would find
you.
Something like that.
And well, there was a couple of good t-shirt booths or tables set up, but you didn't see.
I didn't see
anything
that,
there really
that
like
tickled my fancy.
I saw a cool Rick and Morty t-shirt, but it was one I already had. I'm like, all right, I got
oh,
that
I
one.
Didn't see that Rick
yeah.
and Morty.
Yeah. So okay, well then you didn't really spend any money other than you probably. I think you bought an overpriced cheeseburger, didn't you? Or
yeah, I did. I did contribute. So I got a burger and nachos.
And what about, let's see, so who was some of the entertainment? Santiago Cirillo was mm-hmm. back. He's one that Randall and I have talked about before. He was there last year. He's a guy who was on The Walking Dead, I think, most prominently featured in season 3. I believe that's right. When they had the assault on the prison, he was in that battle. And cool guy, Army vet. In real life, and was asking him today what he had in the works. I mean, you can only, you know, especially if it's been a few years, you can only talk about Walking Dead so much.
Right.
Which, I mean,
yeah.
I don't get the impression talking to the guy that he's tired of it yet, you
right.
know, but there will come a time when,
oh, yeah.
you know, hey, I'm doing other things. And I was kind of trying to be that guy today. I was like, hey, what are you working on now? You know, what else
right,
you got going
right.
on? And he's got a new book out that he co-wrote or contributed with somebody else. I cannot recall the title, but he's getting into the wrestling game. Oh, did you catch that? Yeah, yeah. You weren't there when I was talking to him.
Like he's going to wrestle?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Actually, right. he told me when I was talking to him, he said he's doing something with TNA
yeah.
wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty well known. I don't know if all that stuff is still on television. I guess it is.
As far as I know,
I mean,
it
you're
is.
Into the wrestling, right?
Yeah.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he was doing that, and I heard over the PA as we were leaving, they were, because they're having some kind of wrestling event tonight in Humboldt, Tennessee, nearby, and were saying that I heard it on the announcements as we were leaving that he was going to make his in-ring debut.
Oh, that's who. Yeah, I heard that, but I didn't make the connection. Okay.
And do you know who Rikishi is, the wrestler? Because he was supposed, he was going to be there. We left before he arrived. I saw his people coming in.
Yeah, he was a fairly big name.
Yeah, I remember.
Probably,
yeah, I remember.
Probably 10, 15 years ago.
I'm not really into the wrestling anymore. And it's weird on the comic book pages and stuff that I follow on Facebook and stuff. There's a lot of wrestling. Some of them. There's a lot of wrestling content. And I sort of don't get that, but I guess I do. There's still a segment of that comic book crowd that apparently a good segment that's bleeding over into the wrestling thing. I was really into that when I was a kid. I just can't quite find a footing in it. I can't find an affinity for it as an adult. Even recently, I've kind of gone back and tried to watch some of the, oh, what do they have? Monday Night. Is
Monday
it still Raw?
Monday Night Raw.
Okay, and if it was something else then, now.
SmackDown's on
Tuesday. I don't know. Doesn't work for me. Doesn't hold the same appeal. I don't know what it is. It doesn't really feel fresh anymore to me.
Right.
Kind of. It's new faces. It's new people. Right. But it sort of just. It's like. It's hard for me to turn it on now. To turn on wrestling and go and not think I've just seen all this before. You know, there's only so much it seems like you can do with it. Well, you tell me. You're still into it. What's the appeal, especially for an adult? And I don't mean that the way it sounds, but, you know, you can get kids interested in just about anything. Because, you know, I was a child. I've said this before. I was a child of the 80s. So that was when it started to take off.
Oh, yeah.
Well, even before that, my old man, you know, would go with him to the fairgrounds in Nashville to see the Memphis wrestlers. Bill Dundee and Jerry Lawler, the Moondogs, Jackie Fargo, the Fabulous Ones, Rock and Roll Express, lot of folks from our area, and the wrestling enthusiasts will know. It's funny to me, the guys that are really wrestling enthusiasts, no matter where they're from, they'll still know those names, even if it's just Memphis. You know, they'll know those old Memphis outfit guys.
Right.
And then having developed kind of an interest in it, because I would get up every Saturday morning. I've talked about that in here because it was my favorite memories with me and my old man when I was a kid, and he would make my coffee, which was mostly milk and sugar, with a splash of coffee in it. And we would watch, and now the same cup. I still remember that blue plastic cup I drank it. And we would watch the Saturday morning wrestling out of Memphis. Lance Russell, Dave Brown, a lot of those old videos you can still see on YouTube. And then somewhere, I think it was 84, when Hulk Hogan battled the Iron Sheik and won the WWF belt. That moment was kind of the tipping point when it just took off. It became something else.
Oh, yeah.
Then it was national and global, and Hulk Hogan, Iron Sheik, and Andre the Giant, and all the stuff now Randy that Savage. People will remember. That was Randy, or Macho Man Randy Savage. All that's going to be just a little bit before your time, but I know you know. You know that history. Yeah. So anyway, catching up, and I, in my 20s, I guess when it was what they call the Attitude Era, you know, Steve Austin and some of that. I was kind of into it a little bit even then, but somewhere in that, somewhere around 30-ish, I was kind of done with it, and I just haven't been able to go back. So anyway, let me backtrack. Tell us what things are like in the wrestling world now compared to Attitude Era and, you know, the late 80s, and what's going on now? Is it really any different?
It is. They've gone back to more of a, I forget what they called it, but it's basically just like they're going back to G-rated, family-friendly, like they did in the 80s, because
that Attitude Era got pretty rough.
Yeah, it got pretty rough, and it just got a little worse and worse, and they got so many complaints from parents and lawsuits and stuff, so they finally just toned it down. But now,
as I remember, I mean, obviously, I don't have to remind anybody, but I remember, and it's about the time I dropped off, so I wouldn't have anything new really to compare it to. But I mean, it was lots of swearing, lots of dirty, lots of innuendo.
More and more.
And of course, Steve Austin, you know, always drinking beer, and it was really rowdy. And
yes,
you don't see that anymore then, too?
Not really. You kind of, well, it's interesting. It started with the very family friendly, very clean, wholesome, you know, 80s image.
Mm-hmm. And so your prayers need your vitamins.
You're right.
Yeah. And Hulk Hogan. Yeah. That was his shtick. He was the all American, say your prayers, eat your vitamins.
Always do the right thing.
Right. It was very Reagan era. Reagan era, and you know, still Cold War. Kind remember
Captain America,
Nikolai Volkov. You know, was a
Soviet
rival.
Yeah, I remember him.
And of course, the Iron Sheik. Uh-huh. You know, the Iranians. It was very wrestling has seemed to reflect the contemporary problems or sort of things like that. Sort of played a little fast and loose with them, or having comedy with them.
Mm-hmm.
It strikes me. Now you tell me. It strikes me though that they probably wouldn't be able to get away with doing. You probably could not caricature somebody like the Iron Sheik anymore, right?
Oh no, they did that a few years ago and they got in a lot of trouble for it. They had to get that guy off. I forget his name, but he was. And it was before ISIS. It was in between 9/11 and ISIS. Mm-hmm. But his character was like a Islamic terrorist.
Yep, yep. Yep.
And that was
can't do that anymore.
That didn't last very long. Uh-huh. They had to get him on out of there.
That's funny
because he was getting death threats and everything else. You know.
Well, you know,
it's
and
like,
then
what
like,
you expect? To
you
happen.
Know, when my old man got into it and was hanging out with the Rossies, Len Rossi and Leo Rossi, you're talking about. I guess the 50s and 60s, which at that point, World War II still fresh in everybody's mind. So you had, you know, Tojo Yamamoto and, you know, the Japanese threat. And they would always come out with their flag, their rising sun flag and their kendo sticks. And they fought dirty. Right, which was a caricature, a stereotype of the Japanese people, especially post World War II. They fought dirty, and again, things that you. But they still kind of they caricature and create characters, though, don't they? What are like some ethnic or cultural like type characters? I know you get some like that are this one's a vampire and this one's a what I'm talking about.
You get
some of those.
You get the token. They had one, I forget his name. He was just kind of the token Italian guy. He talked like Mario and had the little black mustache and the slicked hair and
kind of Jersey Shore Guido kind of
exactly. And they have like a couple of Irish characters, and they'll, of course, they have red hair, like hair, and
basically
they'll wear green,
all Caucasoid,
right?
Yeah, as long as it's some variation on Caucasian, you can kind of play with it, which is I'm fine with. It doesn't offend me, but that's interesting. Anything else?
It has grown stale, at least for me, because. More and more of the legends that I grew up with are, you know, going away. And as that happens, you get the newer faces coming in, and it doesn't have the same effect.
Now, you're younger than me. Mm-hmm. Who would have been, like I was talking about in the late 80s, when for me it was Hulk Hogan and the Sheik and Nikolai Volkov and Macho Man. That nationally, of course, then on like the Memphis guys, you know, Jerry Lawler and all that. Who would have been... Give me a kind of a time window when you started getting into it or were younger. Who were what kind of era or who were the big players?
Well, it was that era when I was little.
Okay.
Yeah, it would have been Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage and
which those guys, they had a long run.
They did.
Wrestlers don't really have those kind of long runs anymore, do they?
No.
I mean, even when you look at, I don't know, like your Steve Austins and stuff, he had a pretty good run, but. Still wouldn't really compare to...
No, like Hulk Hogan.
I mean,
or
Hogan was tops Flair. For like 10 years or so. Ric Flair, yeah. They kind of come and go a little quicker now. Mm-hmm. I think some of that's too is competition. Because, you know, at one point in time, you know, you were either on the smaller circuit. Like, you were in the Memphis region. Or, you know, if you were lucky enough, maybe you were on the national stage like WWF.
Yeah.
There really wasn't any competition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was the McMahons that took the local what is the word I keep looking for? The what they call a local region or
a promotion or
territory.
Territory.
Yeah, there's the word I'm looking for. And, you know, would go get the cherry pick out of the well-known territories and stuff and recreate these guys. And, you know, then made it this big national phenomenon. Mm. But there really wasn't a lot if you weren't on one of those smaller circuits. Or those weren't even really competition because they were sniping. Mm-mm. They were sniping the best people anyway.
Right.
There wasn't until later. There wasn't like really
real.
I mean, you had some threats, I guess. Yeah. There was, what was the one? IWA or there was something
there
like
there was AWA.
AWA. Yeah. Yeah. But none that really competed.
I'm trying to think. Jim Crockett.
That's the one I'm trying to. NWA? Or
NWA, yeah. I think NWA became WCW.
Oh, okay. Kind of or was it morphed AWA? Into that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Look at me. I'm not care less about wrestling now. We're talking about wrestling. Well, I'm interested. I don't have anybody, you know, you're the only person I know that's really
way into it.
That still follows or is into it.
Right.
So you would contend though that it's a little bit cleaner now.
Yeah,
because I mean I flip over there and I still see, you know, the divas, you know, dressed up half naked and stuff. So I mean it's still got a little bit
of the
edge to it, right?
Yeah, I don't watch it religiously anymore, and I even when I'll DVR Raw or SmackDown or whatever, I'll usually end up fast forward through 2/3 of it anyway. And I got WWE Network.
Oh yeah,
because you can get like I'll get all the pay per views for
that's
free.
That's really popular.
Yeah, that's $10 a month for. But what sold me on it was they have the back catalog that goes back 45 years.
All the old WrestleManias and stuff,
WCW
right?
stuff.
Yeah.
And all the I think even like AWA, but especially that old WCW stuff when they started taking all the old WWF people, brought them over, and they got really popular again, which would have been around the time of Austin and The Rock and Goldberg and all that.
Yeah.
So it was, that's what really sold me on that. It was I'd love to go back and watch all that. There was a lot of it I didn't get to see.
I would have expected. I mean, if you'd have told me, you know, we were going to make a channel like that, like the WWF channel or whatever, I would have expected it to do well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's crazy how that's like the number one or number two, like most successful streaming channel or something to that. I heard something like that. It's even up there just under like Netflix and stuff. It's somebody's still making crazy money.
That's insane. Yeah.
Randall and I were here last time talking about net worth and stuff. I should have looked up and see how much Vince McMahon's worth. It's probably astronomical.
He claims he's in the billions and I believe it. Pretty close.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. That's part of his, you know, his character is he always says he's a certified billionaire.
Like if you said add a billion, I could probably
That's what I
figured.
When
you start to
he's
go
like,
billions.
Right.
Billionaire. But they're friends. They hang out with Donald Trump, so they're friends of the president now. That's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Trump had a hand in that somewhere or another. He appeared on some events, and didn't he do some things?
Yeah, I remember seeing him here and there.
Who's the big draw now? Who's the big talent? Is John Cena still considered?
He's still around, and I guess he's supposed to be kind of like the next Hulk Hogan.
Is he still
Rock
top dog though? Aren't there?
As far as I know, they've got a few others that are. I think they're trying to put them up there, but
put them over.
Put them over.
What they say? Yeah.
Well, the thing with wrestling is. If the people don't like that person that you try and put in the top spot, you're going to end up losing a bunch of money because they won't.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to be interested. You know, they're not going to buy the merchandise. They're not going to pay for the shows.
And sometimes it's tricky. You know, there is a science to it, and they can pretty well put people over when they want to. But every now and then, you try something, and then when they're supposed to be cheering, they're booing, and when they're supposed to be booing, they're cheering. And a lot of careers have been made that way. It was like all of a sudden they were cheering this, they were cheering me, and next thing I knew, I'm the big hero.
Right.
Interesting. So, do you think you're losing interest in it? Then are you on the downside of your wrestling?
I'd say I'm on the downside. It's kind of like. People that still watch Saturday Night Live religiously,
mm-hmm.
I'll tune in every once in a while, and I it just puts me to sleep. And I'll ask them, I'm like, how can you keep doing it? And they say, well, because I've always watched it. I always loved it growing up, and I have so many memories of it. So I keep watching it, hoping that it'll get better. So I guess I'm kind of doing the same thing, you know, and it's like that with the wrestling. You know, you have all the old people that you grew up with are gone now.
Yeah.
You know, and that's sad. And then you have these new people come in, and they're probably subconsciously judged harsh, you know, compared to who you grew up with and who you really like.
Our attention spans are shorter. You know, can somebody, how rare a thing one it is to for all these wannabe weekend backyard wrestlers anyway, how rare it is for anybody to even get in it, and if they do, to rise to that level. Guys like your John Cena's and stuff, I mean, that's really rarefied air right there. Mm-hmm. You just the odds of that are so astronomical. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really just such a small field. I mean, you even think about other professional sports, you know, with a whole bunch of guys on any given team and a whole bunch of teams,
right?
You know, and this kind of thing. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, okay, well, I hear you kind of starting to experience then what I've experienced, which is it just I've seen it all, but I've just seen all this. It just right. doesn't going through the motions. It just doesn't feel fresh to me,
going around in circles
anymore, right? I guess. Gretchen, tell everybody, you spent the most time talking to them today. Tell everybody about the Costumers for Christ. What did you learn? They were at the con event, and they are at all the local cons, and said they traveled a little bit, right, throughout the Southeast, I guess. So
they show up at other Comic Cons, but...
Tell everybody what their thing is.
Well, their thing is, you know, they're superheroes.
They cosplay, yeah.
Yeah, the one was dressed up as Thor. The other one was from Brave, and one of them was Rapunzel. But their material, they actually have a comic book. I didn't get a chance to read it, but they also have they had pamphlets, and it had Jesus in the background, really big, mm-hmm. and then these you know, familiar superhero characters in front. So it was almost, I don't really know if it's, you know, Christ is leading them, but anyway, it was just an opportunity for them to reach kids,
mm-hmm.
and be able to talk to them about Christ. They even had mentioned to me that, you know, these kids would want to buy that comic and then take it home, have their parents read it to them or read it themselves. And either way, they were, you know, reaching these families. And I asked them if they travel and speak, and they said sometimes they do, which would be really cool. I can just picture kids that I know seeing them, and that right there is they're gonna attract attention.
And he said some stuff, what, they go to the children's hospital, or was it convalescent homes, or they do stuff like that, right?
Yeah, he had mentioned that they wanted to start going to hospitals. He told me a story that there was some man in the hospital that was dying of cancer, mm-hmm. and he really wanted to see them, and so they went, and he was feeling really bad that day, and they said, well, do you still want us to come? And he said, yeah. So he said they visited with him, and he couldn't hardly lift his head, but he really enjoyed their visit. And just a few hours after they left, he passed away.
And had even asked him to stay through most of the night. They kept wanting to leave, and he kept wanting him to stay and everything. So they're on Facebook, and as you could tell, we're all about them and about their cause and everything. So if you can show them some love, it's Costumers for Christ is the name of their group, and they appear at local cons. And I would encourage anybody that's listening that's interested, go ahead and check them out now. I get the impression that they were kind of you know, when we go, well, what do they do, I got the impression that, like, their answer to that, we're trying to define it, but their answer to that would be anything. Like, if you would ask them, hey, will you come here, will you come do this, will you come do that,
birthday parties, much anything.
I think they would mm-hmm. And largely you know, it's not, I guess, would be a nonprofit. You know, we bought some things off of them just to support their cost and their cause and stuff. But because he said there were some other events and some things that they weren't always able to go to because of cost and stuff like that. So it's ministry now. It's non-traditional. It's unorthodox. And it's probably going to rub up against some people. But I'm all for it, obviously. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I say whatever you do to get it out there, to get the word out there. And I loved that. I actually teared up when I realized what I was looking at.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had not thought about it. They've been there before. I didn't. I don't know if I ever mentioned that to you or not. So, good. Yeah, even Gretchen found something to. Now, I guess we should come back to you because you're. What do you think getting dragged to these things? You're not really interested.
I don't consider being dragged to it. I enjoy superheroes and stuff. I'm odd that way as a girl, but I enjoy spending time with you guys and I enjoy going there. Nathan and I. We sat through a panel. Should I tell about that?
Yeah, you can. I'm probably going to make fun of you, but go ahead.
It was fun. It was just for fun. Well, I was laughing through the whole thing. Yeah, I know they didn't appreciate that, but it was...
Yeah, tell everybody what you learned. Go ahead.
There were ghost hunters there, and they're going to start up a show, and they were just there to show their videos of... They got actual video of a ghost. I didn't see it. I didn't watch it. I don't believe in that stuff. It's just entertaining for me, and I do have some of my favorite ghost hunting people and stuff, but I just thought it would be interesting to sit there and listen to them and see what they had to say.
Yeah, all I saw, I kind of went around and did some other things while y'all were sitting through that, but when I would walk by or glance over, I see two people sitting in a chair just talking. I mean, did they actually show you a video?
No,
they didn't really have a presentation.
They wanted us to stop by their booth.
They're drawing you to their booth,
And it struck me.
I'm over here.
Okay, all right. Well, it struck me as odd, too, because when they started, they were like, hi, this is who we are. Does anybody have any questions? It was just like.
Yeah.
It was kind of.
They didn't begin with any kind of presentation.
You know who we are.
Yeah.
Everybody knows us. We're.
Normally.
World famous.
It just seemed like it seemed odd for me to open your presentation with a call for questions. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Hi, here we are. Anybody have any questions?
I didn't know who they were. I knew we were waiting for a panel, but yeah, I thought the same thing. I was like, now who are you?
It was obvious that it was probably their first panel.
Because
this show, they said that they're actually...
If it's you and your other person, your partner that you showed up with, that's not really a panel. But okay.
Well, anyway. I mean, Q&A.
Yeah.
But Q&A. They said that they're actually in their fourth season, but they haven't aired one yet at all.
Hmm. It's coming to Amazon Prime.
It's going
to
be an Amazon show.
Yeah. Around Halloween, I think they said. The first season's coming.
Did they offer an explanation as to why they had four seasons worth of content in the can and nothing on?
They just didn't have anywhere to put it. They didn't have, like, they just got this deal.
Or a buyer. Or
I forgot to go to their booth. I was going to go, and I did. I just forgot all about it. Because I saw it, like, we passed by it, and I saw their stuff, and I thought, oh, that's really cool. I want to check that out later. And then,
I'm sure they have plenty of equipment you can buy.
Or hire them. Yeah.
You want to see a video? Here's you can buy this link.
For only $149.99, you can get your meters and your...
I'd never been that close to a ghost hunter. I just kind of went...
Never been that close to a ghost hunter that you knew. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, I just about got creeped out. This girl in front of us, because they were asking if anybody had ever had any encounters.
Did somebody offer a story?
She raised her hand and she said, with a Ouija board. And they're like,
of course. I knew somebody would say something like that. I just
kind of had the urge to get up and get away from her.
I think I get the impression that the ghost hunting crowd is a bunch of one-uppers, too. Everybody wants to kind of. Right.
I mean, everybody has a better story.
I mean, well, nobody wants to go, we've been ghost hunting for, 10 years now. But, never really saw anything that suspicious. Nobody's going to do that. You're going to have a story somewhere.
Yeah.
I did notice that every time, all their best stories, anytime they really supposedly saw something or really got something good, malfunction.
Oh,
and malfunction.
The video was deleted somehow. It's like,
the ghosts mess with their equipment, I guess.
But their cameras always fall from behind.
You never see it. You never see it happen.
I was actually sitting there thinking, she says she does research before they go into a certain area. And I got really close to raising my hand and like asking, how many times have you researched that you're close to a fault line or something that would naturally cause that stuff? But I didn't. I
Yeah.
I let her save face.
Yeah, you know, there ain't no point in it. It's their thing. Ain't no point in challenge. I thought about that because, you know, I'm kind of like that too. There's a part of me that is tempted to go over there and pick on them or, you know, but I'm like, I didn't want to bother with that. it's their thing. Let them do their thing. Let them sell their equipment to
it was still entertaining, and that's what it's there for. Okay. Yeah.
Right. Bumper stickers, t-shirts, hats. Fridge magnets.
Yeah, refrigerator magnets. I'm always looking for those.
Koozies.
Canned koozies.
Buy one, get one.
Yep. Keychains.
Just whatever.
They get all merch. That out of the same magazine.
Get your merch.
Get your merch.
Get your merch.
Ghost plasma. I mean, just whatever. Bottled ghost plasma.
And it's funny because they weren't too many booths away from the Ghostbusters that were there.
No, that's right. Because one of the Ghostbusters came over.
They literally had the Mitchell and Mann blown up behind their booth. Mm-hmm. And they were all dressed up. It was pretty cute.
Yeah.
Interesting. They were able to find some way to...
One of them was
to marry
there.
Those groups, you know, or...
One of them was sitting there for the Q&A.
Oh, wow.
I said, and we have a Ghostbuster here.
Okay. Well, you know, why not? Sure. Well, we are a little better than a week past the inauguration of our newest president, Donald J. Trump. And... I pulled up some interesting, strange, weird kind of facts about our previous presidents and inaugurations and things that you wouldn't think about some presidents of the United States. So, Nathan, you're over in Paris, Tennessee, generally. Mm-hmm. How have the protests and the marches been over there? Have you been able to get around?
Yes.
They haven't burned your house down or
not yet.
Anything yet? Okay. No. We're pretty much, thank the Lord, we're pretty much free of all that kind of nonsense where we live. I thought about it the other day. I was driving around listening to all that mess on the radio, and I'm driving up the street, and it's just clear. There's nobody out. I'm like,
no.
Sometimes I'm grateful to live where I live, you know.
I already live by a bad neighborhood, so I already hear gunshots and sirens and stuff anyway.
We have our problems from time to time, but they're small rural community kind of problems. It's people are too busy working and busy with their family. So, okay, anyway. The first president who was ever photographed at his inauguration. Any guesses who that might be? You figure that out if you think about it. Do the math. I mean, every president's been inaugurated.
Right. Was it Abraham Lincoln?
It was Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, good one.
And in the photo at his inauguration, standing very nearby, his future assassin, John Wilkes
Booth. Are you serious?
How about that? Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me tell you something else about his assassin.
Yeah.
After he shot Lincoln, he ran away to catch a train and about fell into the tracks when the train was coming because of his foot.
Right.
And Lincoln's son was standing there and pulled him back, saved his life.
Hmm. Okay.
Did he know who it was?
No.
Well, no.
Neither one.
I've got a couple other things about Lincoln, but it just seemed appropriate to open with that since I think that's pretty significant, you know, he was the first to have a photograph. And apparently even from the beginning of time, you know, inaugurations are a cultural happening as well as a big event. Mm-hmm. And I noticed, you know, one of the things that I saw with President Trump's inauguration compared to others that we have seen or in the modern age, it was relatively brief, concise. There weren't a lot of flourish or a lot of rhetorical flourishes and, you know, a lot of that kind of, it was very to the point. It was very concise and relatively
not a lot of pageantry.
Brief. Uh-huh. And a lot of people compared it to, at least historically compared it to George Washington, because his inaugural address was famously very brief. I think only 130 something words.
Really?
But anyway. Okay. So let's start with General Washington. He is the only president to be unanimously elected. Mm-hmm. How about that? Mm-hmm. Which I think he was just elected by the Congress. I don't know if he was elected by the people or not, but either way, and I would feel fairly safe in saying that he's the only one we would ever see that will be unanimously elected.
Right.
Also the wealthiest. People think Donald Trump's wealthy, and he is. President Trump may have gotten over on Washington now. From what I have, and I couldn't find anything to tell me if this was in his contemporary dollars or like modern age dollars, but up until recently anyway, he was considered the wealthiest president of all time, worth more than $500
million. Wow.
Yeah, which is, you know, whether it's...
For a president.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for comparison, like today Tom Cruise is worth $500 million.
Right.
In our dollars. Mm-hmm. So either way, that's
nuts.
That's pretty healthy. Yeah. Well, he had a lot of... very popular and had a lot of interest, you know. Yeah. But you got to think, though, it'd been harder to amass that kind of wealth then, really, wouldn't it? Anyway, that's research from Wall Street 24/7 listed him as the wealthiest president of all time. Mm. But I have to think now, though, because Donald Trump is in the billion status or in the billionaire range.
He's got to be, yeah.
He probably is going to take that. Okay, John Adams, second president of the United States. John Adams, now, a lot of people know this. He died the same day as his arch rival, Thomas Jefferson. Mm-hmm. He and Jefferson, longtime frenemies, but they died on the same day and July 4th. They both died on the 4th of July. Now, let me tell you some other things about these fellas. Now, a lot of people know that one. They don't know. Thomas Jefferson, let me tell you straight up, was a troublemaker. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you. He invented the swivel chair. Now, I didn't know that. That doesn't make him a troublemaker, but... All right, so check this out. Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, like I said, frenemies, as it were, mm-hmm. rivals. They once together, they went on a trip together. They went to Stratford-upon-Avon to visit Shakespeare's birthplace. Mm-hmm. Right? I've been there. Now, check this out. While they were there, this is John Adams and Thomas Jefferson. They took a knife to one of Shakespeare's chairs so that they could take home some wood chips as a souvenir.
Oh, great.
Thomas Jefferson and John Adams was up vandalizing Shakespeare's home.
Uh-huh.
Ain't that crazy?
Uh-huh.
Can you imagine the scandal today?
Oh, yeah.
The things, and that's another thing, too, while all these are weird, strange facts, because mm-hmm. it's a lot easier to not have the stuff known mm-hmm. then. You imagine the internet now? Somebody would have been snapping cell phone pictures.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Look at these two former presidents.
They wouldn't have got 2 feet from it.
Yeah.
Before they got tackled.
Jefferson invented the swivel chair, so that. Now, James Madison and Thomas Jefferson, listen to this. They got arrested together. I know, taking a carriage ride in the countryside of Vermont on a Sunday, that violated the laws of that state. You couldn't take a carriage ride
in Vermont on a Sunday.
Yeah. And, you know, I have no reason to think this, but let me offer a suggestion. I'm betting a little bit of booze was probably involved.
I don't know. Surprise me.
No. Anyway, but they got arrested for that. Thomas
Jefferson. A couple of rebels right there,
you know,
now.
Didn't get arrested for vandalizing Shakespeare's house, but, you know.
Taking a carriage ride on Sunday.
Know,
you
right,
can't
right.
do that mess.
That's revolutionaries. That's what they were, right? Okay, speaking of James Madison. James Madison weighed less than the average American teenage girl.
Oh.
He's a little bitty old thing.
Okay. That's what it is. It's that Napoleon complex.
James Madison was only 5'4". And weighed less, under 100 pounds.
Chihuahua.
Mm-hmm. John Quincy Adams was a free spirit. Adams was a fan of early morning skinny dips. And guess where he took his early morning skinny dips? In the Potomac.
Wow.
Again, there's no way in the modern age, you know.
You could do that.
It's almost unbelievable. But. You know, no, there's nobody there to snap cell phone pictures.
Right.
And even if somebody sees it, there's no internet to tell people, to spread rumors.
Word of mouth,
quote unquote, fake news.
Right.
Adams go, no, I was not swimming naked in the Potomac. Andrew Jackson. Andrew Jackson had a bird, a parrot, that famously cursed a lot.
Mm.
Jackson had taught the parrot how to swear. Now, that doesn't surprise
me.
My impression of Jackson is he was kind of a roughneck. Yeah, he wasn't very delicate.
Right.
Anyway, they brought the parrot to Jackson's funeral and had to remove it because he was swearing so much.
Inappropriate language at the funeral.
Well, you would think somebody would have thought of that before. I mean, if he was already famous for having this potty mouth bird,
yeah, you would think
who thought it was a good idea to bring it to the funeral,
because the bird's not going to decipher the difference or care.
William Henry Harrison, he had at the White House a pet goat.
Oh, great.
That's country right there.
Uh-huh.
That's country.
That's something, all right.
the president's goats wandering around the White House grounds. That's country.
Great.
Millard Fillmore fulfilled every schoolboy's dream. His first wife was actually his teacher when he was a schoolboy at New Home Academy.
Are you kidding? Oh, my goodness.
No, that's scandalous. Scandalous.
Well, maybe in this day and age.
Well, he was, in fairness, he was 19 when he was a quote-unquote schoolboy.
Okay.
So
it's still gross.
Then it's just like, oh, it's okay. Wait a minute. You were dumb.
Yeah.
That's just why were you in school at 19?
Back a couple times.
Franklin Pierce, he may have actually run over an old woman. I said Pierce was taken in for running over an old woman with his horse, but the charges were later dropped due to lack of evidence. Again, you know, he'd have been convicted.
No,
yeah, right.
Pictorial evidence.
In today's internet age.
Nope.
James Buchanan. This is interesting. Now, think about this. And if you would have asked me, presidents, have we ever had a bachelor president or one that wasn't married? I would have just said no. Apparently we did. We had one. James Buchanan was a confirmed bachelor. Maybe I shouldn't say that. He was never married. To say, quote unquote, confirmed bachelor kind of carries carries a certain connotation when we talk about, so-and-so's a confirmed bachelor, wink, wink.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know that. I ain't spreading rumors.
Well, you never know.
I don't want to spread
we'll know.
I don't want to spread fake news about James Buchanan.
No.
Okay, so Abraham Lincoln, and this is not exactly all secretive. He could throw down. Old Abe knew how to handle himself. He was a wrestler when he was young. And defeated
he was a wrestler?
Only he had about 300 matches and was only beat one time.
Goodness.
Well, you know, a lot of the pictures that we see, especially from his presidency, are toward the end.
Yeah.
And under the stress and the weight of the war and all kinds of things.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's weird. The man that we see in the photographs, the Lincoln we see, is really not the Lincoln he was most of his life. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Okay.
Let me tell you another thing.
Okay.
We actually have a family connection to Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, okay.
Yes. We have a relative. His name was William La Follette, and he lived next door to Abraham Lincoln as a boy.
All right.
And actually ran against him. I'm not sure what that election that was. I think Grandpa said presidential, but I'm not sure which one. But he is a relative of ours.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Way to be a one-upper.
Well, he had the
he fought in the Jesse fought in the war, and his son
so.
William.
Okay.
Grandpa still has his sword. It's pretty cool.
Wow. Andrew Johnson at inauguration. Yeah, he was wasted.
Oh my word.
Johnson had been up apparently all night before inauguration. Getting that whiskey. Getting that liquor.
Great.
And was noticeably, as the historians say, noticeably drunk during the inauguration. On that Tennessee sour.
What does that tell y'all?
That Tennessee sour mash, baby.
Yeah. Man, voted for the right man.
He's on that whiskey.
Oh boy.
Ulysses S. Grant. Famously a general, another war hero, but
I know he was a punk,
but he was actually he had a sensitive side. He was a gifted writer. His autobiography is considered to be today still one of the best written presidential biographies. James A. Garfield. Now this is pretty cool. Garfield, ambidextrous, could write Latin with one hand and Greek with the other at the same time.
Mm-mm.
Wow,
how about that?
That's okay. Insane.
Yeah, what are you doing? Yeah. Grover Cleveland changed his name. Cleveland's real first name was Stephen, but he switched it to Grover as an adult. I would love to hear the story behind that. I don't have it other than, I mean, Stephen's not especially a bad name or anything, but he's like, I want to be Grover. Mm. Grover Cleveland. Stephen Cleveland? Maybe
Stephen Cleveland?
That does sound a little, yeah. Benjamin Harrison was the first president to have electricity in the White House, but... he was so scared of it and so scared of getting electrocuted that he would never turn on the switches himself.
That's redundant.
I guess you get it if it's new. Now, Grover Cleveland was one who was elected to president, then wasn't president for a while, then elected again. So I have another one on him. Cleveland, an unhealthy man. He was named Fitness Magazine's least healthiest president. He loved...
That's hard to do.
He loved... He loved beer, cigars, and he weighed 250 pounds. And this one's interesting.
He knew how to party.
Check this out. Grover Cleveland, the only president in history to hold the job previously of hangman.
Okay.
He was once the sheriff of Erie County, New York, and twice had to spring the trap at a hanging.
Oh, okay.
William McKinley had a lucky charm. He wore a red carnation on his lapel most of the time for good luck. One time, 1901, he gave his carnation to a little girl. Isn't that cute? And then was instantly shot by an assassin immediately after. He gave away his lucky carnation.
So she was part of the ploy, probably.
Immediately.
Distraction, shot. Decoy.
This one I think is kind of well known. Teddy Roosevelt was delivering a speech in Milwaukee. Roosevelt was shot in an assassination attempt. Mm-hmm. And then said to the stunned audience, "I don't know whether you fully understand that I have just been shot." then he said, "I give you my word, I do not care a rap about being shot, not a rap." He went on to finish the hour and a half speech with a bullet lodged in his chest.
What?
Hoorah, baby. I like that. I like
that dedication.
I like that kind of guy. Uh-huh. Yes, sir. Give me a president. Everybody always talking about,
been shot.
You know, they go like the Secret Service, you know, who would take a bullet for the president. This president said, "I'll take them myself. I got my own bullets. I don't need anybody to take my bullets for me. I'll take
Teddy
my own.
Roosevelt.
I'll take my own bullets. Thank you very much." William Taft, the largest president in American history, got himself stuck in the White House bathtub and had to call for help to get him out. Woodrow Wilson did not learn to read until he was 10 years old, but went on to become America's most educated president. He is the only president to have earned a PhD, which he got at Johns Hopkins University, political science and history. Warren G. Harding, quite the gambler. He was in a poker game and gambled away the White House's China collection.
Awesome. Way to go.
It's funny looking back now, too. You know, we have this idea in our minds how the integrity that all these guys had.
Well, we look at people now
and we go, "What crooks and scumbags." And it's like,
kind of a sleazebag.
They've always been drinkers and gamblers and brawlers and womanizers. And Calvin Coolidge. Coolidge once woke up in his hotel room to find a burglar going through his things. Coolidge struck up a conversation with the man, found out he was a student who needed money to pay for college. Coolidge asked the man to hand him his wallet. He gave him the $32 that was in there and told the student it was a loan. And then he instructed the student to leave the way he came to avoid being caught by the Secret Service. So he must have taken a liking to his burglar, I guess. Oh, you know, talking about crazy animals. You know, you think you couldn't outdo a goat. Herbert Hoover.
Herbert Hoover.
His son had two pet alligators that were permitted to run around throughout the White House.
Alligators?
Alligators. What? Two of them. Okay. Running through the White House. Better get them goats out of there.
Yeah. I think they already got them.
Before the alligators get
too
there.
Too late.
Franklin Roosevelt was the first to bend gender norms. Roosevelt is said to have worn dresses until he was 6 or 7.
And
that might have had something to do with his polio. I don't know. I don't know when he got polio. He was born with it. No, he wasn't born with it. Harry Truman.
I don't think so.
Harry S. Truman. Truman really had no middle name. The S didn't stand for anything. And if it's written formally or correctly, there's no period after it. Right? Oh, is it Harry S. Truman? His parents couldn't agree on a middle name.
So S.
Yes. Yeah, that's it. He got a middle initial, but no middle name.
All right.
John F. Kennedy, a Pulitzer Prize winner. I think everybody knows that. His biography, PT-109. Lyndon Johnson, the womanizer. Johnson had so many extramarital affairs during his presidency. His aides would refer to the girls he had affairs with as his harem. He even had a buzzer system installed that rang in the Oval Office so the Secret Service could warn him when his wife was coming.
Oh, great.
Yeah, all right. Richard Nixon, a card sharp. While in the Navy, Nixon realized his friends were winning money at poker games. He wanted to get in on the action. Nixon had somebody teach him how to play poker, and within a few months, he had about $6,000. He used that money to fund his first congressional campaign. How about that?
Jeez.
He staked himself with his poker winnings. Gerald Ford had plenty of career options. Now, this is interesting. Ford worked as a fashion model. Now, does that go against anything you think about Gerald Ford. Gerald Ford was a fashion model during college and appeared on the cover of Cosmopolitan. He also could have played for the NFL. Jimmy Carter believed in UFOs. I think everybody knew that. In 1973, Carter filed a report for a UFO sighting himself. Ronald Reagan attempted a stand-up career in 1954. When his acting career was kind of taking a downturn, Reagan tried to do a stand-up gig in Las Vegas doing some comedy for a few weeks. George Bush, very athletic. High school, Bush was captain of his varsity baseball and soccer team, also played basketball. And this one, you guys remember when President Bush Sr. went to Japan and he threw up? He threw up all over the prime minister. Yeah, you guys may be a little too young for that. But anyway, apparently, it actually, an expression entered the Japanese lexicon after this that, like, if you were throwing up, they would say that you're, you know, you went bush or you was pulling a bush.
Oh, my God.
You're right. Like the Japanese would say in Japanese to one another, you know,
you're pulling a bush.
I'm about to pull a bush or go bush or something, you know, which meant I'm about to throw up. I'm about to throw up on you. So to do the bush thing.
He appreciates that.
To publicly vomit.
Thank you.
Bill Clinton has an extremely symmetrical face. Clinton's facial symmetry is ranked alongside male models. And he's a good-looking man. Starting to show his age. Real rough, though. Every time you see people, I've seen him
Bill
lately.
Clinton?
Yeah,
he does.
George Bush, George W. Bush. W. He had school spirit. He was a head cheerleader.
Yeah, I knew that.
During his senior year at boarding school. How about that? And lastly, to our outgoing president, This one struck me most interesting of all. This guy's been president for 8 years, never knew this. Barack Obama, comic book nerd, right? Yep. A huge collector, apparently. I wonder if he had his collection at the White House.
I'm sure.
He probably didn't move them all there. He probably had them wherever, like Chicago, wherever his home is. But anyway, now he has a favorite. Who do you think, or what do you think might be his favorite?
Iron Man.
Oh, wait, let me think. It's, that's tough.
You're
to
not
call
gonna win
on
a, you're not gonna win a prize. Don't think too hard about it.
Oh, okay.
He's really working on it.
Well, there's no prize, forget it. I'll just say I think Batman for his style.
I don't know. Batman way too politically incorrect. Well, this one maybe too. Spider-Man.
Oh.
He's a fan of Spider-Man.
I literally was gonna try and convince him to say Spider-Man.
Who knew?
I had no idea.
Because that, you know, and I mean, not that I was ever invited to the White House, or probably would be, but that all of a sudden kind of got like, I want to go to White House. I go, hey, Barry, come here. Barry, where's your books? I want to see your books, man.
Barry.
Show me your books. And then maybe he'd trade. Hey, I'll trade you two of these.
You never know.
Right?
Yeah.
I got a whole bunch of Spider-Man. I'm not real into Spider-Man. I got a whole bunch in my collection. I could like take up there and go, Barry, give me some of them. I'll give you some of these. You know, you do a trade. We trade all the time, man. And then run it. Barack Obama, the comic book nerd. Who'd have thunked it? I wonder if he was getting books when he was still in office. Well, he'd send people out to buy them, I guess. I was wondering.
Yeah, they probably.
Next question
probably just
is,
gave them to him.
The next question is, if you're sitting at the White House at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, where's the closest LCS, the local comic shop? Right?
Right.
Can you go interview that guy? We've sold comics. I've been here for 50 years. I've sold comics to 15 presidents. You know? How awesome would that be? And their kids. I remember when John Kennedy Jr. used to come in here. And that's crazy. Mm-hmm. All right. Anyway.
I had no clue.
Who knew? Barack Obama, comic book nerd. Well, God bless him. Well, maybe now he's out all. I'm sure he'll stay busy doing the tour circuit and all that. But I'm sure a presidential collection, probably pretty nice. He is already doing well for himself. He's pretty well-to-do lawyer and senator and all that. So he got some money to spend. I'm sure he got some good books in there. Some hidden treasures. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm thinking, you got all them nice treasures. You're going to be out playing golf all the time. Can't read no comic book on the golf course, man. Who wants to play golf?
You can from hole to hole if somebody's driving you.
I wonder, it makes you think, though, too, since it's not really well known. I mean, not that it has to be. I mean, it's not like when you introduce yourself, here's our new president and here's all
he
these comics.
Comic
but it almost makes you wonder, is that the type of thing? I don't think in today's culture you would really, because geek culture's kind of come around. It's kind of cool. It used to be kind of the thing now. It was kind of a nerdy bad thing, but now it's, you know,
it's like, reversed now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. 30, 40 years ago, you kind of would hide the fact that you was into funny books.
Right.
But now it's like everywhere. Pop culture and comics is all
funny books.
So I don't know. I wonder if that was something like your campaign managers and advisors would tell you to downplay or don't discuss, or, you know, make you look juvenile to the American voting public. Like, we don't vote for no president in Spider-Man. You know what
I
mean?
Right, right.
We want one that plays golf like a real man. Anyway. Well, all right. Well, we'll call it a day for today. And Randall will be back with us in short order. And prayers for his speedy recovery. We'll get him back in his chair. We did ask his permission before we proceeded today. I wanted to make sure it was okay. Before somebody borrowed his chair. And he said it was only these two people, only Gretchen and Nate, that he would allow to administer his tagline.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I wasn't even going to afford you that opportunity, but you have permission from the man himself. So I will let you guys do it together.
Okay. Thank you, Randall.
Yes. Wishing Randall a very quick, speedy recovery. Thank you for not spreading the bug. So, for Gretchen with Nate the Great, I'm Pastor Dave. We are
They That Believe.